I'm not sure this morning how to title the message. That seems to happen a lot. As the kids funnel out, I love the noise of children. To a point. Right, mom and dads? To a point. Now, I'm not sure how to title today's message. A lot of times we get really confused when we don't understand the heart of people. When we don't understand why you can present something with common sense to us as believers. And people can be so cold about it. Or so matter of fact about it. I was talking with Frank this morning early. And the subject came up. And we were talking about, you know, a lot of the anti-Semitism that's out there today. Against the Jewish people. And I think it's interesting that other minority groups who have gone through distress and difficulties, we can give them a pass for behavior because of the way they were treated. And that seems to be what goes on in the world. I'll give you a good example. All those poor Palestinians. You know, you hear that today. Those poor Palestinians have been treated so bad by the Jewish people. And you know, we need to give them a pass. We need to. That I actually had someone tell me this. And they said, I don't care how many suicide bombers blow up the Jews, they deserve it. So, but one thing that they don't understand, for those of you who have really ever looked into the Holocaust and seen that those 6 million, how they were treated, the little kids smiling for a camera because they thought their picture was just being taken and how cool that was, but it was just for a record because they went straight from there to the gas chamber. And if you look at the pictures of the women that no longer have anything but flesh and bone, standing in a line, completely with their clothes stripped off, can you imagine the humiliation and the embarrassment and the treatment? To me, this is mind-boggling. But the very same people that will give someone else a pass for, oh, how they were treated, will look at God's people and say, So, why is that? Well, I want to delve into that a little this morning because I want you to understand why it is. I'm going to begin in Ezekiel chapter 36. And it's talking about the renewal of Israel. Now understand, he's talking about the renewal of Israel, but this very much applies to us in the same way in our lives as we give our lives to Christ in the difference. Because this is something I want you to understand and to grasp fully. Because if you're not renewed through Jesus Christ and his shed blood on the cross, if you've not given your life to him, you cannot experience this and will not know this. And it will make sense why you may have the attitude that we see in the world today of a lack of understanding, of targeted compassion. This is the one that really strikes me. You can be so compassionate with this area, but it'd be total full of hate towards things of God, towards God's people. Why is that? Well, let's read. When God is renewing Israel, we read in verse 24 of Ezekiel chapter 36, he says, "For I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols." From your filthiness and from your idols. Taking that away from them. He's cleansing them of their filth and of their idols. The same thing that he's done with us. I thought about titling my message this morning something that would be very controversial to even say, but I'm going to say it anyway, the idol Jesus. Pastor, what do you mean? How can Jesus be an idol? Jesus can be an idol when you don't have a personal relationship with him, but you talk about him and you've got this own Jesus in your own mind that you want to follow and say that, you know, you're a follower of Jesus when you've never given your life to him. That is Jesus the idol. Think about that. We're a little deep today, aren't we? Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. I will give you, now this is what I want you to grasp right now. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. A heart of stone. That's the heart of the world. It's ruled by emotion. It's ruled by how I feel. It's ruled by how I want. It can even show great compassion at times. But the compassion has no root. It's only a compassion of emotion and of how I feel. So what does he do? He gives you a heart of flesh. What do we know about flesh? If I come over there and pinch you today, you're going to feel it, right? A heart of flesh has feeling. It's living and breathing. It's that heart of compassion for everyone. Don't stand there and scream hatred and call yourself a believer. We can detest sin. We can detest sinful acts that people do. But please don't hate the people. Pray for them. I don't desire that anyone not know the Lord. And I don't care who they are. Because in God's eyes, my sin is just as filthy as theirs. And if he can save me, he can save them. Why am I more worthy to be saved than someone else? The truth is, I am not. And I never was. It's only by God's grace and his son shed blood on the cross for my sin that I have any hope at all. And I place my faith in him and he gives me a new heart of feeling. Christian, don't you desire that? You know, even though we have a heart of flesh, we can sometimes let it get a little hard. And we can invite some of that stone back in. We need to be guarded against that. Guarded against that. Because let me tell you something, it leaves you frustrated. It leaves you unhappy. It leaves you negative. It leaves you only desiring what I want. And then it leaves you with something else. Self-pride. Self-pride. Christian, we need to know that everything that we have to be proud about, truly proud about, comes through the filter of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Then you can be truly glad and praise God for what you have and who you are and where you go and where he's put you. You know, as Americans, you've heard this many times, but I'll reiterate it. I think as Americans, we forget how blessed we are to be born when and where we are and how we are. There are people in this country and probably the majority of the world that know hunger every day, have no access to health care. They struggle every day just to live, and we've been born into a country where everything's available to us. It is. We're very blessed in that way. Sometimes I think it's a blessing and sometimes I think not so much. Because we have so much and we can get along so well regardless of our behavior. Right? The general attitude in America today is, why do I need God? I've got everything I need. That's that heart of stone missing the truth. You don't have all you need. You may have all you need for the moment. But what happens when the storms of life come? What happens when health fades? What happens when the money goes away? What happens when the kids rebel? What happens? Where's your heart? Who do you know? Do you have that wonderful safety net we call God in our life that we know is going to catch us regardless? Or are we just going to keep tumbling and falling without any direction or knowing where to go? He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do that. What is he saying? He's saying that, look, I'm going to give you a new heart, and those statutes, those things that I gave you to do and told you what to do that you just can't seem to do and don't really want to do, excuse me, now you're going to have a desire to do those things and to walk in those things. They're not going to become drudgery. They're going to become, this is great. This is great. And it goes back to that thing of when you give a message in a church and people are what we call convicted. The Word of God says something, or the pastor says something that awakens something in them to tell them, this is something I do and I need to think about this. There's two ways to respond. The heart that is that heart of flesh will say, you know what? Thank you, Lord, for revealing that to me today. I really needed to think about it. This is something in my life I need to correct. Lord, will you help me walk the way I should walk? And maybe this is wonderful. I heard this today because I've been feeling a really heavy weight on me. And now this is something that maybe has been causing that heavy weight. And Lord, you've had it revealed to me. Thank you, Lord, for that. And someone else with a heart of stone will say, I can't believe that pastor said that. He was talking directly to me. He knows my problems. That nosy pastor, that's none of his business. This is my life. And our poor pastor up there didn't even know they were going through that, you know. But, you know, their heart of stone saying, I don't have to listen to this stuff. I don't have to do what God says. I don't have to. I, me. And that's where they go, and on down the road they go miserably. So we have to ask which one we are. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You will keep my judgments and do them. Ah, and this is beautiful. And this is where we see in what's going to come in the end. And then you will dwell in the land and that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. See, he's talking to the Jews here in that promised land, and where they're to be, and where they're to go, and how they're to live. But you know what? We're promised a promised land that's amazing. Something that stands out to me, and I'll go to the next passage with this. I actually marked them today. I didn't want to get lost. I thought it might save us about 5 minutes of service time, you know what I mean? But anyway, it's amazing to me. Think about this a minute. People can say they believe in Jesus, but they refuse to believe what Jesus says. They refuse to believe what the Bible says. But they still want to follow Jesus. This is why I talk about the Jesus idol. I don't know that Jesus they're following, but it's not the one of the Bible. It's not the Christ of the Bible. People can believe in this wonderful heaven that's a zillion times better than the earth, with all the things that we look forward to, and the beauty and the freedom and the riches and everything in heaven. They'll believe in that. That's fine. I'm going to go there. But then when you look at the earth, which is something that is very minute compared to what God is going to do in heaven, and they refuse to believe what the Word of God says about the earth. Huh? Why? Well, because the world says it's different. The world made an excuse. I'm going to tell you something. Everything that we see in our earth in geology today, in biology today, everything we've studied from our earth, every last bit of it can be completely understood and explained by our flood. Isn't that amazing? From the tectonic plates and the shifts to the layers of earth, to the how the animals were preserved. And if you really look at common sense in all of this, you start to scratch your head. You know, one of the things science is really struggling with today, they're realizing because of the gravitational pull that we lose annually, the earth can probably be, a lot of us are saying, we got a problem here. This points to a young earth. But we've been selling an old earth. How are we going to justify the two? Well, I know how to justify the two. Believe what the Word of God says. Let me tell you something. If you don't think that God can make this world and everything in it, and the way he did it and how he did it, how in the world can you believe that his son died on the cross to cover all your sin and save you? Huh? Why is God capable here and not capable there? Jesus Christ supported a six-day creation. Why in the world are you trying to buck that? Do you really, what Jesus do you believe in? The one that tells the truth part of the time and lies part of the time? Not me. I'm not going to believe in that Jesus. I'm going to believe in the Jesus that tells the truth all the time. Because either he's who he says he is or he's not. And he either did what he said he did or he didn't. Drives me nuts sometimes. Oh, but Pastor, it could mean... No, it doesn't. It means what it says. And it is what it is. Where's all this evidence of evolution? I really want to see it. There's not only so many holes in it, they got to fill in the blanks with conjecture all the way through, but they also go back and they say, well, where's all the layers and layers and layers and layers of massive fossil evidence that should be here? Where did it go? Well, we found a piece of a bird in Ethiopia that we think is this. A piece of a bird? Have any of you ever studied the human body? I know some of you nurses have. Holy cow! How are we going to explain that? There's so many valves and gates in our body that shut off this and that and open this and open that and do this and do that. How? That can't evolve. Give us a break, folks. Why don't we just take a swish watch and throw it and bust it against that back wall and watch it all fall down and go back together? That's a lot easier to believe than ever believing that the human body could have evolved from something that's nothing into something that does everything it does now. Look at our reproductive system. Well, we couldn't reproduce for a few million years because we were still evolving to have a reproductive system. Huh? Well, how did things get born then? Well, they were waiting on evolving. How did they live that long? I mean, come on, folks. Some of this is common sense lay terms. Do you know why you've been taught this in an orderly fashion and why the world says this is what you're going to believe and this is what we've decided? Do you know why? And why they put this timeline together? They've done it because they don't believe in God. And they have to have an answer. So they make one up. And you get enough of them in high places, and that's exactly what they do. And if you're a scientist that comes out and says, wait a minute, here's the truth, they say, you're discredited, we don't even want to hear from you. You know, the thing I find interesting too, I have this discussion with people sometimes that seem to be intelligent people. There is so much evidence out there, especially that the Creation Research Council does. They put out a monthly magazine called Acts and Facts. It takes what's being said, and it takes scientifically by renowned scientists to explain why this is really what it is and what the Bible says and how it totally coincides with it. Some of the most interesting stuff you've ever seen. Even the pictures are beautiful, if you're a picture person. Look at it. No, I'm not looking at that. I believe what I believe, and I'm going to... Your God has just become evolution. Your God is evolution because you refuse to look at anything else. You refuse to do the comparisons. You refuse to sit down and say, well, why don't I look at both of these? Why won't they look at it? They won't even read it and look at it because they're afraid of knowing the truth, because the truth is in their heart, down deep, it is not creation they reject, but it's God they reject. And they reject his awesome power. Psalm 32. I'm going to go ahead and start in verse 1. The joy of forgiveness. This is that forgiveness when you're forgiven and you get that new heart of flesh. And it says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. He's not going to be hurt. In whose spirit there is no deceit. You see, you got to have Jesus Christ in your heart to not have deceit in your spirit. You know, a couple weeks ago, months ago, we had a night where we showed a wonderful film. And the film was about how God made man and woman and what he expected and how much he loved them and how wonderful his love was for them. And in that film, there were some people that had lived alternative lifestyles that had realized the awful wrong that they had done in their life and how it had destroyed their life. But they gave their lives to Christ and how now through all the difficulty and all the pain, they were living for the Lord and accepting how God made them. And we put it out there and we put it out there and we put it out there. And nobody that I know that lived that alternative lifestyle would even come and watch it. Why? Because of the stubborn heart of man, I'm going to do what I do, I'm going to say what I say, I'm going to believe what I believe, and don't you dare show me something to the contrary. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. You got like that? You older people get like that where you just lay around and feel your bones getting old and you don't do anything, you don't get out there and you don't do what you're supposed to, you don't love people, you don't reach people, you don't want to learn anymore, you just want to lay around and watch your bones get old. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Frank and I just had this conversation. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. That drive, that get up and go. Let's go. I've told you guys about the little old man at the camp meeting. He must have been in his 70s, maybe 80s, I don't know. Man, he was jumping around like a firecracker. He's on fire for the Lord and wanted everyone to know it. He wanted him to know the Lord before he died, that was for sure. That's that vitality God gives you when you're doing what you should do. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. Can I ask you this morning to please do something and be an open book to God? Not an open book to Pastor Steve, not an open book to the church, but an open book to God. God, here is my sin, every bit of it. I'm putting it in front of you. You see it anyway, but I want you to know that it's okay with me that you see it, and please clean, help me clean this stuff up. You've cleaned my heart, now let's clean me up. Acknowledge your sin to God. Don't try to hide it. He knows it anyway. He wants you to come clean with him, right? Doesn't any honest relationship require someone coming clean with you? You can't have an honest relationship when there's lies. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you. In time, when you may be found, surely a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me in times of trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Folks, I find joy in that deliverance. This is what I love. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be, and I hope there's none of you in here this morning, because you're hiding your other two legs if you are. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Let me tell you this morning, those people that want to say they know God but deny his power, those people that say that I just want to talk about Jesus but don't talk to me about what the Bible says is truth, they're horses and mules. They refused to even hear or come near it. Look, I've been taught this. This is what I've been taught day after day. And you crazy preachers are teaching. You know, a guy told me one time that teaching from the Bible was called preacher speak. Preacher speak. Well, I hope if it's preacher speak that I go mute right now. Because we teach the Word of God. And you can accept it or reject it. Don't believe a word I say, please. But please believe what God says. And that what I'm showing you is what God says. And if you don't believe me, if you question it, please get in your Bible and study it. Don't just walk away and throw your hands up in the air. Do not be like the horse and the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. How many of you come together and rejoice in your righteousness? In your right doing, in your right living? Oh, that would be kind of conceited of us, Pastor. No! Rejoice that God has given you that life and who you are. Be excited that you can live and know what's right and you have the opportunity to reach out and do it. Praise God you're walking with Him every day. And He's given you that new life. Get the sad countenance off your face, Christian.
Okay, Pastor.
Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. And shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Wow. It's great seeing you guys every week. I love when you come in the door and I can see you and say hi, and I miss you when you're not here. I really do. And I know those that aren't here today. I can scan this room, and I know those that aren't here. You know, a lot of pastors don't have that blessing. They can walk up in this big congregation, and someone would have to tell them if someone wasn't there. I love the fact that I know all of you. And I know those that come and go. And I love the fact that I know when someone's not here. And God lays a concern in my heart as to why. Many times it's a great reason they're not here. They went to the zoo. Some days you just need to take off and go to the zoo. But sometimes it's something much deeper. And I want you to know your pastor's praying for you. Either way. Huh? It's great sometimes to do things and to get away. I have no problem with that. I don't think anyone in the church does. Let me tell you something. Church attendance is not going to get you in heaven. But if you're headed for heaven, you'll probably desire church attendance. You know what I mean? It's about each other. I want to turn to Romans. This will be my last passage today. Romans chapter 6. Beginning in verse 7. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once and for all. But the life that He lives to God. There's one time, and one time only, that Jesus Christ took the sin of the world upon Himself. And that was on the cross. And when He died, that sin of the world died with Him. When He rose to new life, sin was gone. Our Lord and Savior never has to deal with sin again in Himself. He's sin free. And He wants you to know that blood covering that He gives you by accepting His free gift of salvation takes that guilt and pays for that sin in your life. It's kind of rough that we live in a rough world. We live in a world, we still have that old nature in our life that Satan wants to keep poking and get us to come back, and it's hard to get rid of things. It's hard to get rid of bad thoughts. I think one of my greatest joys in heaven will be the fact that I no longer have to have bad thoughts. And I'm not talking about dirty thoughts. I'm not talking about greedy thoughts. I mean, although those can be there, right? We're people. I'm talking about just the thoughts of being unsure of things. Just the thoughts of lack of confidence. Just the thoughts of guilt that'll sneak up from something. Just the thoughts of being stuck in your mind, things that you want to get rid of, but they're there. I think heaven will be wonderful because that'll be gone. But our only hope while we're here on earth with those thoughts is to live and walk with the Lord every day and let Him work on you and work on those thoughts. Right? The more we pay attention to Him, it's more of Him and less of us. And as we give our lives to Him more every day, the ugly part of us doesn't rear its ugly head so much. Am I right? Knowing Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. Once and for all. But the life he lives to God. Likewise you, now we're talking to you, Christian. Likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Understand, reckon yourselves, you are dead to sin. You don't have to let sin have dominion over you. Huh? Well, Pastor, I live a pretty good life. Sin comes in all forms. Pride, doubt, lack of forgiveness, not expressing love, Me. There's a big one, right? Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. You notice he says mortal body. Did you notice that he says don't let sin reign in your soul? Isn't that cool? You know why? Because it can't. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, your soul belongs to God, and it's clean and it's snow white. But he says don't let sin reign in your mortal body. That part of you that still has earthly mortality. That you should obey its lust. Do we ever have problems with lust? Yeah, we sure do. We lust after all kinds of things. And then we get them and find out they weren't so great after all. What about that one thing that you lust after, that when you get it, you realize the mistake. And then you realize, man, I got to live with this the rest of my life. Huh? Why did I do that? Sometimes something we lust after will take our life. Why did I do that? One time. That person that does a drug one time and it either alters their life forever or it kills them. That person that desires deeply someone that God never intended in their life, why did I do that? Because that's the mortal body. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. These little hands, these eyes, these ears. I used to have these little monkeys hanging on my wall. It was see no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil. Do you remember those? Huh, the little monkeys? These are the hands of those little monkeys. We have our members. Where are we taking them? What are we doing with these hands? Where are our eyes going? What are we looking at? I was sharing with someone the other day how Satan will put things in front of you desiring deeply to tempt you. It doesn't matter who you are or how old you are. But the question is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to let sin reign in your life and have that regret? Or are you going to say, Lord, whoa, thank you. Thank you for that stop sign. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness of sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. Hey, Lord, I just remembered I'm alive from the dead. You saved me from my sin. My soul is clean. I got to remember that. You presented me that way, and that's how I want to be. I want to live alive. You can still race motorcycles. You can still do fun things. You can do all those things you like that some people may think are dumb, but you love them. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about presenting ourselves to the Lord and saying, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In my thoughts, in my actions, in my desires. And here's a big one, folks. This is the one I want to close with. In your hope. In your hope. Is your hope resting in what God is doing for you and will do for you? Oh, I hope I don't get sick. I hope I don't get COVID. I hope that my money doesn't run out. I hope that gas doesn't go to $6 a gallon. I hope that I can keep my house. I hope that my kids come around that I'm more. I hope. How about one hope? My hope rests in Jesus Christ, and I know that it'll sustain me through anything, and I don't have to worry about tomorrow, because whatever happens tomorrow, He's got me. He's got me. If I die tomorrow, I die with Him. If I get sick, He's going to help me walk through it. If I go broke, He's going to find me a tent to live in. If gas goes to $6 a gallon, I won't drive so much. What are we worrying about, folks? Our hope needs to be in Jesus Christ in our life. How is it that people that are dirt poor can have a smile on their face and enjoy life and look forward to tomorrow and love Jesus? You know why? Because that's what they do. Their hope is in God. He says that things. Everything on this earth will burn up like wood, hay, and stubble. What He leaves in you is refined as pure gold. Put your hope in the right thing. Enjoy your life that He's given you in the world. Enjoy your home that He's blessed you to live in. Enjoy the opportunity that you have to have things and to bless other people with what you have. He wants you to enjoy those things. He truly does. But don't let them be your hope. Because, see, if your hope rests in Him, it doesn't disappoint. Those other things can fall away, but your hope doesn't disappoint because it rests in Him and your relationship with Him. You see what I mean? Not, you know what, I am hoping in the Lord. I'm hoping that gas doesn't go up, that He won't let my house get taken away. I hope that, no, that's not what I mean. My hope in my life and where I'll be tomorrow and everything I have rests in Him and His love for me and holding me in His hand, and that is where I need to find my joy and my comfort. Girls, don't let your hope rest in a boy. Boys, don't let your hope rest in that girl. Huh? Am I right? Hey, girls are great. Guys are good. It's all good. But what I'm saying is, that shouldn't be your hope. Your hope needs to be in Jesus. He'll take care of that issue. It may be wonderful. It may flourish. But let your hope rest in Jesus Christ. Right? For sin shall not have dominion over you. What's that mean? It means you won't be a slave to sin. I don't want to be a slave to sin. I want to be able to walk away from sin and say, not me, Satan. Not me. My hope's in the Lord. My hope's in the Lord. I'm not doing it. Look, Satan, no, leave me alone. It's bad enough I fall victim to those little things every now and then and just let it slip in, and then, daggone it, Steve, what'd you do that for? For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. I'm going to share with you this morning that you live in the greatest time you could ever live. You know why? Because if you were living under law, you would be a mess. You couldn't do it. You'd be sacrificed. I couldn't breed and raise enough cows to sacrifice what I'd need for my sin. Huh? Can you imagine that? Oh, I finally got a nice herd of cows. Oh, no. I sinned so much this year, they're all going to go to sacrifice. Huh? Isn't that tough? But we live under grace, where all we have to do is come out and we get on our knees and say, Lord, you know I've done it again. But Lord, you love me. Bring this to my mind. Let me not live in this. Lord, I desire you. I want you to say one prayer this morning. And it may be, Lord, it's tough. But in my heart, I truly do desire you. And Lord, if I'm not willing to surrender 100% of everything to you today, please move me in that direction. Move me in that direction so I start depending more on you than on me and on the world and things around me. Because he's going to give you something in your life that's going to be called joy. And it'll come. It'll come. Sometimes we pray and pray for things and we see no end. And the Lord's sitting back saying, quit looking. Quit looking. I've got the end. You trust me. I've seen over and over in your lives, I've seen things that you've worried about, things you've stressed about, things you've brought to me to pray about, things that you've surrendered to the Lord, and I've seen you get through them and get past them, and the Lord give you wonderful peace again. Folks, he's going to do it. And as the Apostle Paul knew great well, that if that peace isn't on earth, it will be unspeakable joy in heaven. What do we have to fear? What do you have to fear? When you rest in God, you have nothing to fear. Amen? To be dead in the body is to be alive with the Lord. Praise God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. I thank you for everyone here. Lord, I pray that we take this message. And Lord, if somebody hasn't surrendered their life, today is the day to say, you know what, Lord? It's time I surrender my life to you and quit living in a false way for myself. I ask that everyone here learn and know the joy of walking with you. You lift us up from our dark places, and Lord, give us strength for the day. We ask this in your precious and holy name, that in your will these things will be done. In your name, amen. I'm